and welcome to Go and Equip. I'm Shanda Lee.
And I'm Jen, and we are so glad that you found us.
Go and Equip was started to encourage and equip believers through stories from five specific themes. Ahava, which means love in action. Talmudim, which means being learners or disciples of Christ. Apologetics, which is defending our faith. Da'at Elohim, which means knowing God. And Besorah, which means good tidings. Words from Hebrew and Greek that you might not be familiar with, but have a big impact on our lives as believers.
Yes, and we are so glad that you've joined us for this journey.
Welcome to the podcast today. We are really excited to have our friend Brian Osborne here. Welcome, Brian.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
So fun to see you guys. It's been a while.
It has been. We've known Brian. I've known Brian and Marla for probably 18 years. I think Ashley was an infant when we met. Marla and I were singing in a group together.
That's right.
Long time ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's been a long time.
I think I met y'all before that at Bryan College.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we were students.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Long time ago. And I'm older, but we won't talk about that.
I graduated Bryan College in 99, which is a wild thought. Yeah. This makes me feel a bit old.
Yeah. I graduated in 96.
I was 97, so you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Don't point that out, but anyway.
That's okay.
You have seniority.
I do. Well, we are talking today about apologia and how we live that out in our everyday life. Brian is in ministry at Answers in Genesis.
Correct, yes.
You that are listening probably are familiar with Ken Ham and the whole creation aspect of apologetics. So we'd just like to share a conversation with Brian today and talk about that. And we're looking forward to just hearing what he has to say.
Yes, we love the Creation Museum. Yes. We love the Ark encounter. And so all those things our family has really gotten so much benefit from visiting and learning, and it's just an incredible resource that's available through Answers in Genesis.
Yeah, if people aren't familiar, so Answers in Genesis is the ministry that built the Ark Encounter, the life-size Noah's Ark replica in Northern Kentucky. We are those crazy people who did that, right? and then also the Creation Museum, which is a walk through biblical history and doing apologetics, defending the faith as you kind of walk through. And when was the last time you guys were there?
It has probably been 3 or 4 years since we were there.
Yeah, I was at the Ark 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. It was just before COVID. So
you are more up to date, but there's still a lot of new stuff. There's so much new stuff. I encourage people all the time. Our leadership has such vision, and we're so blessed by God to keep expanding the ministry. And there's brand new exhibits opening all the time, new buildings, new presentations. It's really amazing how much the ministry is growing, both in the States and around the world. So you want to come back soon. If our listeners have not been in a while, you'll want to come back. There's just so much to take in.
And it's done so well, which I love and appreciate. There's been so much effort and detail, and it's just done extremely well. I appreciate that very much.
We praise God for that. Yeah, the people who God brings to the ministry, they're so talented in what they do. And then there's just this general mindset that comes from the top down that whatever you do, do it to the glory of God and do it with the best of your ability. And they do. And it just shows out. It shows up throughout the ministry.
That's awesome.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love that. We love both of those encounters. We've been through both of them a couple of times. And I love the hands-on and being able to see things. I'm a visual learner.
Absolutely.
And so I love being able to experience that.
Well, it brings the Bible to life.
Yes.
When you can see, the life-size dimensions of the Ark, and you start to realize, holy cow, that was a really big ship.
This isn't a little sailboat in the bathtub.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. There aren't giraffes sticking out the top of some sort of bathtub Ark. Now, this is a real ship that really could accomplish the purpose that it was made for. And then as you walk through the Creation Museum and go through biblical history and get answers to all sorts of questions, you're like, this really does make sense. It makes the Bible almost tangible in a way. And so it makes it come alive. And that's exciting to everybody, but even especially, I think, younger generations, But
My kids absolutely love it.
We love your kids.
Yay.
Well, tell us a little bit about your family. We've
sure.
talked a little bit about what you do for ministry day job. We're talking a little bit more about that, but tell us kind of what does a day look like?
Well, so I am married to a wonderful woman named Marla Osborne. You guys know her.
Yes, we love her.
Oh, she's incredible. She is my greatest earthly blessing by far. She hates it when I say that, but it's just true. All right. We'll be married 23 years this June.
Oh, my goodness.
This June 20th. So that's awesome. And God has blessed us with two beautiful children, Ian and Macy. Ian is now 7. Macy's now 3. And they are just full-on kids. They're healthy. They're exciting. They're energetic. They're doing stuff all the time. They're incredible. Both of them are awesome. I just could not ask for anything more. And Ian is just, he's a boy, all boy. And, Legos and games and, you know, play guns. And I mean, just doing boy stuff, right? And so much fun to play with. And Macy, she is just my little princess. And she recently announced to the whole household through Alexa in our home that daddy is her best friend. And that's been her mantra now for a few months, which is incredible.
Sweet.
And
love
so,
it.
Yeah. So that's my family. We homeschool. Mm-hmm. And actually before I was a speaker with Answers in Genesis, I was a teacher for 13 years. Mm-hmm. I taught at Hickson High School for 13 years, teaching Bible history. And Marla, my wife, she taught at Brown Middle School for 10 years and 3 years at Scenic Land before that. So we're both teachers by trade. And but after we moved to Northern Kentucky to join the ministry, we started homeschooling our kids. And
go
so
homeschooling.
We love homeschooling. Really do. There's such a need for it on multiple levels. And the way our culture is going right now, if you're thinking about homeschooling, might be a good time to actually dive into it for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But she does a fantastic job with that. And right now with the COVID stuff, I still work from home quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so I'll see them a lot during the day, which is kind of fun too. Yeah. So
that's cool. Awesome.
So what does your job entail at Answers in Genesis?
Right. So it's kind of funny. My title is speaker and also writer and curriculum specialist. So like speaker, what does that actually mean? Like, what does that really mean? And of course it means speaking, but speaking about the themes of the ministry. So apologetics, defending the faith, why it's important, why it matters, doing apologetics, defending the faith from the beginning, why Genesis is relevant, and then giving answers for a lot of the popular questions of our day. And I speak in multiple venues. So we speak at the museum and the Ark. We have auditoriums for that hold lots of people, and people come from all over the world to hear those. And it's so cool to see that. I travel and speak when COVID's not all around us, right? Or that's picking up now once again, but typically my main job is traveling and speaking. Mm-hmm. And so back in the day before COVID, I would travel around 25, 30 weekends and speak at a lot of churches and conferences.
And internationally, you travel
internationally,
a lot as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. God has blessed us. He has a sense of humor too, but I spent 3 months in Australia. Traveling all throughout Australia and my family went on that one, I was all for ministry. It was incredible. It really was. I've been to Japan and Malaysia, been to South Africa, Kenya, Zambia, England, a couple other places. Been to Alaska. That was fun. Not a different country, but it felt like it. and just different opportunities that God has opened up. And really the ministry, we have branches. We have a whole Latin American branch. Ooh. We have a whole branch in the United Kingdom. We have one in Canada and other places as well. So God has just seen fit to glorify his name by just blessing this ministry and spreading it throughout the world. And it's all him. We say that all the time from the top down, and we just watch him work.
That's awesome. I love that.
So we like to, at the beginning of every interview, just talk a little bit about some of our favorites, maybe some things that we're not good at or some things that we are good at.
Okay.
Today we're going to talk about if you were to give a TED Talk, what would be your topic? What's the thing that you just love to talk about and can talk about at the drop of a hat?
It would probably be the infallibility, the inerrancy, the sufficiency, the trustworthiness, the reliability of the Bible and God and his character and who he is. From the time I've been saved, when I was 17 years old, God just gave me a passion for him and his word and really looking around and challenging myself and other Christians. Like, if you're a Christian and you're following after Christ, then the Bible is his literal word. And so it should be your guide in everything.
Yeah.
I heard someone recently say that if Jesus were to stand in front of a microphone and speak, to you right now, it'd be no different than reading your Bible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes we don't look at it that way. We have a kind of a lower view of Scripture, mm-hmm. which affects so many avenues in our lives. Not only if we do apologetics or how we do apologetics, but how we live.
Yeah.
Is God's really your guiding authority? And this is not just me talking to people. This is me talking to myself, you know, analyzing myself and where am I falling short and where am I not truly trusting what he's told me in his word. Mm-hmm. And so just, sharing that message of, yes, it is trustworthy. Yes, it is reliable. It is perfect because it is God's word and it should be our authority in every area. We should submit to it, right? And rightly so. And so it's a challenge to myself, but it's something I'm very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And that's been fleshed out in my life in different ways. And then really the ministry of Answers in Genesis is all about defending biblical authority. Yeah. And so and that was a passion that just really lined up really well. And of course, God saw fit to do all that.
Yeah. It's great, especially with the culture as it is today. We see more and more challenge of the inerrancy of Scripture.
Absolutely.
The supremacy of Scripture, just over and over again, we're seeing that come up even in the church.
That's right.
So it is very important to have a clear understanding of why we believe what we believe and why Scripture is important and, and the most important thing that we can hold as God's word and as God's direction for our lives. So,
And sometimes we don't even realize we're compromising what the Bible says, you know, depending on what area you're talking about. But for example, with the issue of origins and you talk about the, where we come from and what about evolution in the Bible and the age of the earth and dinosaurs, and those sorts of questions, sometimes Christians don't even realize they're actually accepting secular ideas and actually undermining biblical authority unknowingly in many cases. They don't even realize what they're doing because they've tried to import these ideas they think that are right, try to squeeze them into the Bible, and they're actually undermining biblical authority. I did that for a long time myself. And so it can be unintentional, but the consequences are still dire.
And it just comes back to the point how our themes are all connected.
Oh,
that we have to be good students of the word of Christ and how we live that out. We have to know God. We to experience him through the word in order to be able to defend. And if we aren't doing that on a regular, consistent basis and feeding and preaching gospel to ourselves, then we can't possibly defend it accurately.
That's right.
The culture will invade.
Yes, it will.
Well, I mean, like you said earlier, you got to know what you believe and why to be rooted in the word of God. And then as you guys well know, that as we walk out this Christian life, whether we're just living with our families or engaging someone in apologetics or evangelism, it's got to be the Spirit of God that empowers us to do it to God's glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we got to rely on him and lean into him every day, every moment. And if we're not constantly coming back to him and spending time with him and getting in his word, then it's really easy to try to lean into our own strength rather than trust what God would do through his power.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to speak the truth in love whenever we're doing it in our own power.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. And we fall too often into that because it's work. It's work to study the Bible.
It's
and
true.
It's work to make the effort to make that a consistent habit in our life. And sometimes it's just easier to just say, I'll pass on that today.
Right.
And
oh, absolutely.
We have to consciously make that decision to intentionally pursue him.
Because he's worthy.
Yeah.
He is.
That goes back a few episodes talking with Jim Fleming talking about how he's worthy. Not Jim, but God. Let me clarify that.
Well, I just sang a little bit. So you can edit out the singing. Just be sure that comes to edit that out. It's going to hurt somebody's ears.
So we have all obviously visited the Creation Museum and the Ark. You reside there.
My office is in the back of the museum.
Yes.
So yeah, it's pretty neat.
So we've been there. What's one of the places in either or both of those that you could visit every day and not get tired of it?
It's so hard to answer that question. and I'll tell you why, because I do love all of it, which sounds like a scapegoat answer, kind of is. But what me and my wife have found is that we love taking people through both attractions. We never get tired of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's really because the people we're taking through.
Right.
Right. It's always, it's new to them. Yeah. We can share these truths with them or watching their expressions and see them
that's
get excited. So there's that aspect. So, but I think if you're picking like one spot, I know Marla would say, and I would echo it, the planetarium, the show created cosmos so incredible.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. And the planetarium is world-class. It really is. It's so well done. We're actually right now, we're upgrading that very presentation to be 4K. And that comes out probably in about a week or so.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's going to be even better. We got a new project. I mean, it's all been updated. It's so incredible. So, but the whole program, the content is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then the perspective you get on the size of the universe, how small we are, how big God is, and so forth. Yeah. So cool. So that would be definitely something. We've seen that show at least probably 30 times, you know, taking people in and out. We still love it. And then after that, I mean, the botanical gardens are gorgeous when they're blooming. I'm not a garden person, but they are beautiful. I can appreciate it, you know, and I love seeing them. And then the exhibits, I mean, they're like you mentioned earlier, Jen, they're so well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's our artists who do these, the sculptures, the writing, the dinosaurs, you know, that are made life size. Mm-hmm. That's all done in house.
Yeah.
You know, and they do such an incredible job.
Cool.
The detail's so good. And we opened a brand new exhibit just last week called Borderland, Israel in the Time of Christ.
Oh.
And it is phenomenal.
That'd be
right.
Neat.
And the attention to detail, and it's just so well done. Yeah. And so I kind of marvel at their ability and their skill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so every time I go through, I'm just, wow, they are really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's for all the exhibits. Maybe if I'm picking one, the planetarium, the Creative Cosmos, just because of so many different angles, but it's all so good.
Yeah, it really is.
That'd be the Creation Museum. The Ark Encounter, maybe the living quarters section of that, if listeners aren't familiar. So there's a part of the Ark Encounter where we have a living quarters for Noah's family, and it's maybe what it might have been like. You know, we're taking an educated biblical guess at what they may have been doing in that particular place and what it looked like in their rooms. And we gave them different personalities. The Bible doesn't tell us what the personalities were like, but they're people. So we're assuming, you know, one son may be more artistic, another son's more about reading, another one's more about making stuff, you know. So their rooms kind of reflect their personalities a little bit. But just the way it's done, the detail, the look into their lives, the possibility, making them feel really human, like they're real people, and then the detail it's done with, it's exquisite. So,
and we have a tendency, I think, as believers to read through scripture and read it one dimensionally.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't look at them and see that these are real people. These are real experiences. These are things that really happened. And when we see things like that, it puts it into 3D for us.
Absolutely.
That really was a person that was named Noah, and he walked and he lived and he did all these things. I think that's some of my favorite. I love the door.
Oh yeah,
I love the door. It just
you're
puts
so
it,
spiritual. It's got a cross on it. Okay, I see.
I'm just so thinking big. It's so big. It just every depiction we've ever seen or heard is a little door, and they just think, it's just a door. Well, this is not a little door. It's massive.
Yes.
And you think about some of the creatures had to get in there. Probably some decent sized creatures. Why not make it big enough to be sure they can get in with no problem? Most likely.
Yeah.
But it's one of the favorite photo stops for everybody.
Definitely. We definitely have that one there.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We've had it there.
Yeah. And just to think that God is the one who shut the door. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's an awesome thing to see.
It really is. So if you guys haven't gone yet, we encourage you to go to the Creation Museum
and
the Ark Encounter.
Repent and dust in ashes and go. I'm just kidding. But
go
you
today.
Will really enjoy it.
Yeah. Kids are actually free right now.
Throughout this year. 10 and younger are free.
Oh, yes. Go.
Which is a great
time. Go while that's still happening.
Yeah.
I will say this, too, not to be overly commercial, but right now, starting August 2nd, for 40 days and 40 nights, we're having the world's largest Christian music festival.
Oh.
And it'll be 80-some different artists coming and singing at the Ark Encounter. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. Multiple people coming in, different speakers. We'll be there, too, visiting, like Dr. David Jeremiah will be there and others as well. And so they'll be there, and they'll be at the Ark Encounter. We have an auditorium called the Answer Center, which holds roughly 2,500 people. And so there'll be concerts throughout the day, different speakers. And if you go while this is going on, again, starting August 2nd for 40 days and nights, goes back to Genesis, right? Your ticket to the Ark that day gets you into all the concerts. So it's just you buy your ticket to the Ark, and you can go stay at the Ark, look at all the stuff, go to the concerts. So it's really a neat time to come.
That's neat.
That's great.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get started in apologetics specifically? I know you taught Bible history for years in the school, in the high school around here.
Public school, by the way.
But how did you make that transition to a ministry in apologetics specifically?
Yeah, it's really interesting to me to watch God work throughout time and how he kind of progressively just kind of molds you and kind of pushes you in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you can go back to, I went to Bryan College, majored in biblical studies. So I had a heart for knowing the Bible there. Not so much apologetics, a little bit, but it wasn't really my focus. And then when God directed my steps, cool story how I became a Bible history teacher, totally God. But when I became a Bible history teacher, you know, teaching Bible in a public school, biblical history, Old Testament one semester, New Testament another, as we went through that biblical history, when the kids asked me a question about the Bible, I could legally answer the question as long as I told them what the Bible said. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't be my opinion or any particular theological persuasion, you know, denominational persuasion, but right. What does the Bible say about this issue to whatever their question is? And so I didn't really know it at the time, but that was literally training me to do apologetics mm-hmm. because they would ask me some good questions mm-hmm. that I maybe not would not know the answer to. And then I'd have to go, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Mm-hmm. And I have to look it up, study, do the research, look at Bible verses, and have a biblical precedent for answering their question. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's literally apologetics. Yeah, that's what it is. And so, and by the way, that's how we should do apologetics, mm-hmm. where God's word is our authority. God's word is our answer. We're going to that as mm-hmm. our source, right? And so it was training me to go to the Bible, not my opinion, but what does the Bible say?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I was doing apologetics in a sense that way. And mm-hmm. God was just training me through that whole process. But in the midst of that, probably, oh my goodness, maybe a few years into teaching, a friend of mine who is still a good friend of mine, David Potter, he's around here actually. I think he's a teacher at Salty Daisy now. But anyway, he gave me a DVD about dinosaurs in the Bible. I said, hey, have you ever, you know, watched this DVD or heard this guy talk about this issue? And I thought, no. And at the time, I was one of those Christians who thought, you know, maybe God used evolution in millions of years. It didn't really matter. Just trust in Jesus. Not a big deal. But I thought I'd watch it. You know, maybe it could help me on my giving answers about these issues to my kids. And I watched it, and it blew my mind because it was the first time I had heard dinosaurs explained from a biblical perspective, understanding biblical history plainly in a straightforward manner as presented throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end. And it answers so many questions. And I was like, oh my goodness, not only is this awesome, but I've been teaching this all wrong. And to me, I realized I was ignorantly undermining biblical authority mm-hmm. by teaching things that weren't in scripture and actually undermining the biblical truth by teaching secular ideas and trying to squeeze that into the Bible. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize I was doing it. Mm. And so it was a light bulb moment for me to realize, wow, okay. And so at that point, God gave me a real fire for apologetics in general, in particular creation apologetics as a focus, but just defending biblical authority. And so it was there where I started getting so many different resources. I'm a little OCD anyway, my wife would tell you. And so I was started reading book after book after book and watching video after video. And then I remember for like 2 years, I was just a vacuum. It's like it was another job. Like I was a full-time student on this stuff. And after a couple of years, my wife looked at me. She said, okay, I'm glad you know all this. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
I thought that's a really good question. And so I went to our leadership at a church at the time, Storrow Heights Baptist Church. That's right. And so I went there and I talked to the pastors. I said, hey, can I, you know, teach a class on this? And we did Wednesday night classes. Yeah. And they're like,
it was a great class, let me tell you.
Oh, man. And they said, go for it. I'm like, yeah. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but here we go. Yeah. And so just by God's grace, you know, put that together and taught that for multiple years mm-hmm. in the local church setting. And the class kept growing and growing. And because it just really is, there are a lot of questions that need to be mm-hmm. answered. People realize, oh, there are answers. And,
yeah.
And so, and then after doing that for a few years, still teaching Bible history, I learned about answers in Genesis already. Was very familiar with them, got many answers from them. But the more I learned about them, the more I realized their heartbeat was all about biblical authority, mm-hmm. defending the truth of God's word so we could proclaim the gospel in an effective way. And that's really the heartbeat of Answers in Genesis, defending biblical authority to proclaim the gospel. And that was my heartbeat. Like, I'm not interested about winning arguments per se about the age of the earth, mm-hmm. or dinosaurs or rock layers. That's not my passion, just that individual issue. Yeah. But I wanted to give answers to those issues to defend the authority, the integrity of the word of God, mm-hmm. to proclaim the gospel in a very clear and effective way, especially in a very secular culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I saw that was their heartbeat, and I saw that was my heartbeat. And so I introduced myself to Ken Ham when he was close by at a local church, and God used that to spark a relationship that went on for years, and they vetted me over years and eventually asked me to come on full-time as a speaker for Answers in Genesis. Mm-hmm. And so the story's a lot longer than I just made it, even though that was really long. Sorry, audience. All right. But God progressively kind of just put pushed me in that direction and brought me to the ministry. And it was all him. And my wife and I say, during that whole transition time, that God was opening doors. And we told him, you keep opening, we'll keep walking through them.
Yes. One of those doors was you've written a couple of books.
That's
you're,
right.
You're an author. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, by the way. People who really know me well, like, they understand God uses the weak things of this world to shame the wise. So when Brian Osborne writes a couple of books. But yeah.
Yes. Well, that's super exciting. And so one is called Quick Answers to Tough Questions and Quick Answers to Social Issues is the other one. So tell us in a nutshell what they do and who they are geared toward. Like, what are these books about?
So as a ministry, we have tons of resources that go really in depth on origins, age of the earth, evolution, natural selection, mutations, fossils, rock layers, stuff like that. They go really in depth. They're really great. Mm-hmm. We don't have as many resources that give you quick, concise answers. Mm-hmm. And so the goal of my books were to give quick answers. So each answer is less than 500 words to a particular question. So what about the age of the earth? Answered in 500 words. Dinosaurs, 500 words. Carbon-14 dating, 500 words. That's the first book on quick answers to tough questions. And so it's really meant to give just quick, concise answers. And it's geared towards ages 9 to 99. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, because it's just very ADD friendly. Mm. And in the culture we live in, we're all kind of like that.
The microwave culture.
We are. Yes. Well, then that takes too long. It's got to be shorter than that now. But anyway, you know? And so they're just meant to help people who have, we have that struggle of paying attention, short, quick, concise answers. And the books also serve as a good, you know, reference tool, because you can read the answer and a month later get asked the question and forget. Mm-hmm. You can read the chapter and like, 3 minutes and get the answer again. And so it's just very helpful. Mm-hmm. Or a good review or a good overview or a good book. You know, the gospel is in both those books heavy in multiple ways. It's a good book to give to someone who's not a believer. They're struggling. They got questions. And you give them the book and it's thin. It's, you know, so it's not very intimidating.
Yeah.
You can read both those books. You can read each book in around probably 4 hours-ish, depending on your reading speed. Mm-hmm. And so it's not scary. And so maybe they'll actually read it and then get to the gospel at the end if they're not saved or encourage a believer. And so so the first book deals more with scientific issues, scientific questions related to the Bible and origins. And the second book, as you might imagine, deals with the social issues of our day. And so for that book, same idea as far as giving quick, concise answers. Each answer is less than 500 words, but it's geared towards the social issues. And there are 4 main categories: issues of life, equality, sexuality, and environment.
Whoa, those are all buzzwords right now.
Oh, my good heavens. Yeah. And so, like, for life, we deal with issues of abortion, euthanasia, stem cell research, and stuff like that. For equality, what about social justice? Mm-hmm. What about that movement? What about slavery, so-called, in the Bible? For sexuality, and some of the other questions, by the way. But sexuality, we deal with homosexuality, the transgender movement, environment, what about climate change, and all those sorts of issues. And I give just very quick, concise, biblical answers. And that's the key, biblical. Like, it's not my opinion. Who cares what Brian Osborne thinks? You shouldn't care. But what does the Bible say on these issues? And honestly, as I wrote that book in particular, and the other one too, but the second one about the social issues, I really had in the forefront of my mind my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I want them to have these answers in a clear way.
Yeah.
And it also helped me codify my own thinking and have clear answers. But also, I wanted them to be equipped. And of course, by default, doing it for them, I want to do it for other kids as well, and other people, other Christians, because Christians seem to be so confused about how to respond to so many of these issues.
Absolutely.
And my encouragement all the time to people is that there are answers, and they're really not that hard. If you'll trust the Bible, there are answers. Mm-hmm. Now, beware, they're not popular in our culture today, right? Yeah,
right.
But there are answers.
Yeah. So these books are extremely relevant for what we're dealing with in our culture today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, the buzzwords and the headlines every day.
Yeah.
That's great.
So you can get those books on answersingenesis.com.
You can.
Can you get them on Amazon or any other?
I'm pretty sure you can. Okay. It's been a while since I looked. So when they were released, yes, they were there. I would think they're still there.
Okay.
But definitely through the website, answersingenesis.org.
.org.
Yep, .org at the end. Lots of great resources there. Other great books if you want to dive deeper, but they're there.
We've used some homeschool material from Answers in Genesis through the years. And also when I'm doing study, if I've got questions, that's a great resource for a ton of things that might come up. I mean, just pretty much any topic you can think of, you can find something on there to be able to biblically defend or explain it.
And it's written in a way that you can understand.
It's not academically written.
It's not over
your
head.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they bring it down to, you know, just like a normal person reading it.
Well, especially my writing style. My writing style is very conversational. So yeah. the way I write is the way I speak, mm-hmm. which could be bad sometimes. I try to take out the Southern accent, not too much, like, you know. But anyway, no.
Don't have too many y'alls in there.
I take out the y'alls. That's right. They could be there, but yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I struggle with that in my writing, putting y'all in.
Just you all, right?
Yeah, it's what it is. Yes. It is what it is. Yes. What's something that you found people misunderstand with apologetics or evolution?
Oh, there's
apologetics
quite a few things.
And evolution, I guess I should say, because they're not the same thing.
Right. Well, I think when you talk about apologetics in general, a lot of people misunderstand the purpose of apologetics. And so a lot of times people think of apologetics and they think of, you know, some young man who's just likes to argue and he wants to debate people and he just wants to win debates, and apologetics is all about arguing and winning debates. And that's not it at all, biblically speaking. You know, apologetics is all about, yes, giving defense for our faith, telling what we believe and why, in obedience to God's command, 1 Peter 3:15, Jude 1:3, and stuff like that. So we want to be obedient, but the point of doing the apologetics is to A, be obedient, to give a defense, to proclaim the gospel, to see people get saved, right? Yeah. Or to see Christians encouraged to stand firm and live a godly life to God's glory. That's the point of apologetics. It's not about winning debates or arguments per se. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do give a defense, and yes, you want to be winsome and effective and right in what you're saying. But the point of doing all that is not to build yourself up, build up your own ego, or to be, you know, to be victorious in some sort of conquest of battle and an argument, but to give answers out of love for people and love for God. To proclaim his truth, that's to see him glorified and see people live a life honoring to him and see people get saved. And so for a lot of people, I think they misunderstand that. I think another issue with apologetics is, and I'm just stealing this from Vody Bakum, but a lot of people think that apologetics is only for the super Christian. The Chuck Norris of Christians, right? Or whatever. You had to be like some uber, you know, you have to be awesome. You got the answer to everything and you study every issue. You've read 10,000 books on everything. You know it all. And then once you do all that, you've gone through the special training, you're in special ops now. Now you can do the apologetics. That's not it at all. Number one, I just said a second ago, the Bible says that every Christian is to be an apologist. Not, that doesn't mean to apologize for your faith, but to give a defense for the faith. We're all called to give that defense. And we're all commanded to give that defense for the reason for the hope that is in us. And so, number one, we have that command from God. So we need to rightly submit. But number two, it's not just for those who happen to be an expert in their particular field. It's just telling people what you believe and why, right? And so why do you have this hope? Why do you believe the Bible in light of the secular teaching of evolution or the secular sexual revolution? Why do you prefer the Bible's morals or the Bible's definition of sexuality and gender as opposed to what's being pushed down our culture's throat? Why do you stand where you do? Why do you believe that? Being able to articulate those things from a biblical worldview, from the Bible itself, and to give a defense. And so we're all called to do that, and we all can. And that leads to kind of another thing I tell people all the time. I mentioned earlier that doing apologetics, it's really not that hard. It's not, if you'll trust the Bible. It does take work, as you said earlier, Chandelier. It does take work. You have to put in the time. Yeah. I mean, you have to read. Or you have to do some, or watch videos. If you hate reading, there are videos. Watch them, all right? You study. You have to put in the work. It doesn't have to be a full-time job, but it does take effort. Right. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, getting along with God and working in his spirit and his power, it does take time to do that. But we can, and it's not that hard if we trust the Bible. And so I could go on, but I think those are kind of three big things about apologetics that people kind of misunderstand quite often. And I did too for a long time. And I have to remind myself even, you know, of those things.
Sure.
And just real quickly with evolution, I would just say this. I think a lot of people, myself included for a long time, don't understand how corrosive the secular ideology of evolution in millions of years is to biblical authority and thus the gospel indirectly. Because truly the idea of evolution in millions of years, it basically says that the Bible's origins account is wrong. It's not true. And the straightforward reading of Genesis can't be taken as it clearly reads, as Jesus took it, as straightforward history, as all the biblical authors take it. It's not that. And so the history is not true. But the bottom line is this, in short, if the Bible's history can't be trusted, I mean, why trust it about morality, sexuality, or salvation for eternity?
Yeah.
And so it boils down to biblical authority, and a lot of people have missed that. They think it's not a big deal, and I was in that same camp for a long time. But really and truly, evolution in millions of years undermines biblical authority and thus the gospel indirectly. And by the way, also, every biblical doctrine, either directly or indirectly, finds its root in the history of Genesis 1 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I mean, a few examples. Why is there death in the world? It goes back to Genesis 1 to 11. Why is there sin and death? Why is there sin? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we wear clothes? That's good, right? Amen. Right. That goes back to Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we need a new heavens and new earth? That goes back to Genesis 1 to 11. How do you know there are only two genders?
Yeah.
Genesis 1 to 11. What is marriage? Genesis 1. I mean, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And so we tend to miss that. And so many Christians tend just to give up the foundational history, not thinking it's important.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, it is directly relevant to biblical authority, especially where the attack is happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, what's something that continues to surprise you about defending faith, about defending your faith and how we can defend our faith? What's something that surprises you?
I think what surprises me most is how easy it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to make light of it. And I'm not trying to say if people have a hard time, they're less intellectual or whatever. Not at all. I'm simply saying it's easier than you think.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You don't need to be a super Christian. You don't have to be a Chuck Norris Christian to do this. You need to trust God and know what you believe in, why, study his word, and you can do this. So I think that's a big one. And also, I think the realization that, you know what, as I do apologetics, as I defend the faith, as I share the gospel, as I encourage believers, you know what, it's not me who has to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why it can be easy. When
Thank
you realize,
yes.
It's
such
know?
A relief.
Yes,
oh my goodness.
Is.
When we can walk, and when we finally walk in that freedom that it's not about us and it's not in our power.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it takes the pressure off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when you do that, it's interesting. As you understand that correctly and you realize, okay, it's all God. It's not me. I need to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
It's his spirit that works. Then when you engage somebody, you can be de-stressed.
Uh-huh.
You can relax a lot more. And when you relax, it makes you more winsome.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not, you got to believe this because if you don't, I'm going to fail and you're going to hell. And you know, it's God's work. And here's a great thing. It's this line of thought from somebody, I can't remember who, but obedience is success.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, obedience is success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, do we want to see fruit? Absolutely. We love seeing fruit, and that's wonderful. But God is the giver of the fruit. He ordains that. He waters it. He makes it happen. So for us, if you're obedient, you are being successful. That's the very definition of it, which is so encouraging and so edifying to us and gives us a confidence and courage to go out and do it and trust Him with the results.
That makes me think of John 15, you know, where we're abiding in Christ and
Amen.
The fruit,
oh, yeah.
the fruit comes from abiding in
Love
obedience and doing what we're supposed to do. But you know, we don't make the fruit happen. The fruit is a result of our obedience in Christ and in just being in Him, you know, and following what he's asked us to do. So
I've loved that passage for a long time.
Yes.
John
15. It's a good one.
Oh yeah.
Read it today.
Well, Brian, you have traveled all over the world, sharing the gospel through the creation account.
Right.
Tell us about a favorite interaction that you've had with somebody. What's something that just stands out in your mind that just keeps coming back to mind that you're encouraged by?
I will say this first, and that is what I hear over and over again is how many people have been encouraged in their faith by realizing there are answers starting in Genesis about these issues, or atheists or former atheists who did not believe, and then they got challenged on these issues and start studying it out, and then God used that to open their eyes and turn them towards Him and bring salvation to them. We hear that so much and so often. Mm-hmm. And so I love all those accounts. I can't remember individuals because they get clumped together.
Yeah.
I have so many people over time, over multiple years. But with that being said, I would say maybe one of my favorite just personal interactions I can remember very vividly on doing this stuff is with a lady at a church I was speaking at, I believe in Indiana. And she was in her late 70s or early 80s. And it was after kind of the conference was done. And typically at a church conference, we'll talk about why it matters. And we'll talk about evolution, the age of the earth, dinosaurs, rock layers, fossils, and all sorts of one blood, one race and stuff like that. So we finished the entire conference. And she came up to buy one of the books. and she was clutching. I mean, she was holding it tight. It was Answers Book 1, mm-hmm. right? And that we cover about 30 roughly different answers in our Answers books. And so this book talked about all sorts of issues. One of those would be dinosaurs. And she came up and she said, with literally tears in her eyes, she said, "I've had questions about this stuff my entire life. I've grown up in the church. I never heard this before." And she was so excited that she finally had answers. That's and these amazing. Questions had been just bugging her for years mm-hmm. and gnawing at her. Here they were. And she was so excited. She was so overwhelmed. She's literally crying over it. And so I've seen that sticks out to me. And I've had similar interactions with other people in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, you get that a lot from a mm-hmm. lot of Christians. So if they're already saved, they're like, "Oh my goodness, I never knew."
Yeah.
And this makes so much sense. And you get so excited, like, it does make sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, "Oh, I can't defend my faith." And, wow. And so people get fired up about that. It's a revelation. Sometimes you get mad because you think, "I've been duped my entire life. And yeah. I didn't realize mm-hmm. I've been actually helping the enemy unwittingly mm-hmm. by, you know, supporting these other ideas." And so, but all those emotions, but definitely the excitement that there mm-hmm. are answers and that I can stand and I can defend the faith.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so exciting when you can look at the authority of the Bible, because that all of the answers that we find in the books, like Answers or the ones that you've written, are biblically based. They right. are based in scripture. It is not an opinion.
Right.
It's not just, "I think this is how it happened." It's based in scripture, which is so exciting. That's exciting to mm-hmm. me, you know, to be Absolutely. Able to defend belief based on God's word, mm-hmm. because that's really all that matters in the end.
It is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
So what is one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with? If you could tell us one final thing that we could remember from this moment on about creation or evolution, what would that be?
Wow.
No pressure.
We've got to remember this forever, right? I think the main thing would be it matters. Mm. It really does, because it deals with biblical authority, and that's the gospel indirectly. Every biblical doctrine rooted in that history in Genesis mm-hmm. 1-11, you undermine that biblical history, you undermine biblical doctrines and the gospel indirectly. It matters. Along with that, and this is more than one thing, maybe I can just scrunch it together. It matters, and you can do this. Mm-hmm. You can. The answers are not that hard.
You can do it.
Right? You don't know. Motivational speech. You can do it. We don't need that reference in this. But anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm laughing at.
Edit. But you really can. And you can be encouraged. You can be equipped. And you can do what God has called you to do. Be obedient to that. And watch God use that in an amazing way. But there are answers. It really does matter. Be rooted in God's word. And stand firm. And all that, stand firm. And as you do that, then we'll see God move through that for his glory, and he'll grow you, he'll grow the people around you. Just really quickly, I know Marla and I talk often about how when God got a hold of us on this issue years ago and really began to open our eyes to how we kind of compromised in different ways, didn't even realize it, it made us do some inventory. Mm-hmm. Where else have we not been trusting God's word? And didn't even maybe don't even realize it, but we're not been trusting his word. And so are we really taking his word as the authority? And really, it began kind of a reformation in our lives, where we came back to God's word and taking it more seriously. And we'd already been taking it seriously, mm-hmm. but no, really, this is the very word of God. So what it says about any issue should be the final word and the authority. And so it began kind of a reformation in our lives, because mm-hmm. we were taking God's word seriously. And so it really is, hey, take God's word seriously. It does matter. Stand on this word. You can defend your faith. And as you do that, you can be equipped to proclaim the gospel in an effective way. And for, I got to say this out there, for the parents, for the grandparents, for the pastors, or the Sunday school teachers, God's word is under attack in a vehement way in our mm-hmm. culture.
Yes.
It starts at the beginning with Genesis, but it gets to, of course, the social issues of our day, right? Mm-hmm. And think about it. How do you respond to the secular ideologies of our age? What biblical doctrines do you use to fight against the homosexual LGBTQ agenda? Mm-hmm. What biblical doctrines do you use to fight against the gender revolution or the transgender revolution? Where do you go to have biblical answers to those issues? You go back to Genesis. Mm-hmm. You know, marriage is one man, one woman for life, because that's how God made it in Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, there are only two genders fundamentally, because that goes back to the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. You can explain the brokenness of humanity, why people have broken views of even their own gender or their sexuality. Why aren't they so broken? Why are their perceptions so broken? Because sin broke everything.
Yes.
And our thinking has been busted by sin. And so even explaining the brokenness of man goes back to Genesis chapter 3. And so when you want to give a biblical defense on even the social issues, you're going back to that history in the book of Genesis mm-hmm. chapters 1-11. But that history is not true. and you're replacing it with secular ideas like evolution millions of years, you've undermined your source for those biblical doctrines you would use to refute even the social issues. And so it does matter. Stand on that foundation. And dear parents, grandparents, pastors, Sunday school teachers, you cannot pass on what you don't possess.
Amen.
And so we got to equip ourselves, put in the time, do the work to know the answers and share those, and then equip ourselves and the coming generations to know what we believe and why to stand firm. And, you know, we need to stand firm so much in our day and age because the attacks are vehement and they are powerful and they are coming from multiple angles.
Yes.
So we're going to stand. You better know what you believe and why.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of that leads to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Absolutely.
It sounds like, I guess you're referring to you and Marla kind of having a reformation there. It's a personal revival is what that sounds like, and which we need in our country so badly, you know, personally and then collectively as the church. Revival is something we need, and it all goes back to God's word and the foundation of the truth that we possess, that he has spoken his words to us, you know. So, yes, thank you so much for being here today. This has been amazing to
my
talk
privilege.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you let me talk, and I love talking about this stuff. So it's like a TED Talk. I give you my TED Talk
exactly.
Right here.
Fantastic.
Well, we just are so glad that we've gotten to spend the last little bit with you, and thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have questions, you can find those at answersingenesis.org.
Yep.
And you can find a variety of information about apologetics, answers for a lot of issues that we're dealing with today.
Yes. Go see the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum and take your family. It's worth it.
Yeah. I know I'm biased, but you guys will love it.
Yes.
All right. I'm telling you, you will love it.
You'll
be encouraged. You'll be challenged, but you'll also be equipped. It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. To connect with us or for more information about today's theme, visit us at goandequip.com.
That's goandequip.com.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.